Let us all wait upon the Lord as we come in a very real way, positive way, to look into this very, very precious word that God has made so precious to so many, many people. And we'd like to take your text from Luke 15 and reading again at verse 16. The Gospel of Christ according to Luke chapter 15, reading again at verse 16. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my fathers have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise, and especially verse 18, I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. Parable that we know as the parable of the prodigal son. And perhaps just a little thought about what we understand to be prodigy and to be a prodigal. And there are men, women who are, given to the excesses of lifestyle in this world. People who are given to excesses over the top, more than is reasonable, more than should be, and more than normal, unwise, spendthrifts, unruly, and it's some thought about prodigals. And I'm sure if we perhaps will not say that we were one of those ourselves, but I'm sure those of us who have reached some years, we can visualize how important it is for us to enter into the danger of being such in a world such as this. The dangers of being excessive in our lifestyle. Of seeking to fulfill desires that we know are not compatible with what God is saying to us. And surely when we are reading about here about the Father, how gracious the Father was to the prodigal. It wasn't the time for him to receive all that was due to him as the son of the Father. But yet because the bright lights that were associated with many forms of worldliness and foolishness and sinfulness, they were brighter and brighter and more attractive and more people saying, I will be part of it. I will enjoy it. And deep down in the heart, we are all made normal. I'm speaking about us, those who are of us who have every interpretation of normal, but with a normal senses and able to employ our senses, then we do must say, well, we shouldn't be part of that. We shouldn't do that. We should stay away from that. We should believe that there is a way, perhaps even, and of those of us who have been blessed, I'm sure most of us here tonight, we believe, will be in this category, those who our fathers and our mothers thankfully taught us. Thanks be to God. And so, this parable is divided into three parts, and the first is the good shepherd, if you like. It's and maybe if we, and we read Ezekiel because sometimes we may think how clear is the word of God, and what promises are there hidden away in somewhere in the Old Testament, and perhaps at points of our lives we'll say, well, I cannot find much there that attracts me. Well, my dear brother, my dear sister, it is well worth working at until we discover that that the whole Word of God from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21 is the greatest harmony of thought, word, and deed, and blessing that there has ever been and will ever be in this world. And that it, however it may be hidden at times, but really and truly, whatever you or I are looking for on this path of life, let it not be hidden. On our knees before the Lord, asking our Father in the name of the Son, it is here. And so that in God's time and way we will find it. As a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep, and will deliver them out of all places where they have scattered in the cloudy and dark day. And perhaps we are saying, well, in the day of Ezekiel, in the day of Jeremiah, in the day of Isaiah, in the day of all those men, God gave them the task to do, to preach the word of God in dark days. And perhaps we are saying, well, today is as dark as any of them. And maybe that is true. And so, but the truth does not change. As a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that is among the sheep that are scattered. And perhaps some of us will say, well, there was none more scattered than I was. The Lord, our God, as we sang in the psalm, the Lord our God is merciful, and he is gracious, long-suffering. How long was the prodigal away for? Pleaseth God not to tell us, but we say simply, too long. Far too long. And every one of us who has come into the safety net of the kingdom of God, we will say our amens. I shouldn't stay a day longer in the far country of question and fear and darkness and unbelief. We shouldn't stay there. It's a dangerous place to stay in. And remember, there is a mighty power of darkness seeking. There is a quite a powerful devil seeking whom he will find. Seeking those that he will bring to absolute sadness, grief, misfortune, and so even unable to return to the Father's house. And I'm sure you know them, and I'm sure that I know them. And so some say that the Bible is old-fashioned. However, gifts are given to writers of forms of fiction, etc. And you've never, and none of us read anything that touches your heart or my heart as much as the parables of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's absolutely there, and it touches the heart. And how is that? Because the Holy Spirit of God that Christ said he was leaving in this world applies this word to the heart of those who may be scattered and as far away and as prodigious and as wayward and as bent to be fooled by the promises that are dangled in the front of and this age, surely as much if not more so than any age, making sin more and more attractive. And the millions of people I'm sure that's true, in Great Britain tonight, who would think it would be absolute bondage to be in the house of God, worshipping God with God's people, and the word of God being read, and the prayers of God's people rising to heaven. Absolute, how could anyone ever do that? And we do. And we know it is not of ourselves. And the promise, I will feed them in a good pasture. And upon the high mountains of Israel shall their fold be, there shall lie in a good fold, and in a fat pasture shall they feed upon the mountains of Israel. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. Doesn't the word of God say it a lot better than we can? And the parable then of the prodigal son, and how our Lord Jesus Christ is telling it in such a way, in that likeness, comparing what is eternal with what is temporal, comparing what and showing forth what is spiritual and what is holy in comparison with what is worldly and worldly acceptable. And there was this man who had 100 sheep. And you may see, and there are some shepherds we know, or those who were shepherds and still are, and we have to be reasonably careful how we maybe not have the same knowledge, understanding of the need. But nevertheless, the eye of the good shepherd, looking at the side of the hill or the side of the mountain, and he looks up and he doesn't need to take out his computer. He just looks and he says, there is one missing. I'd like to say even now how precious your soul is to Jesus Christ. And the good shepherd, who is, Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for his sheep. And you see, the necessity that every one of the flock, the totality, they shall be mine, saith the Lord, in that day when I shall make up my jewels. He calls them his own, and maybe the jewels are more relevant to the second part of the parable, but nevertheless, they are very, very special people, on the face of this earth. Remember how God chose Israel as his own chosen people. And God, there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither man nor woman. You are all one in Christ Jesus. That unity that brings from the desperation and the fearsomeness and the famine. And we could use the terms of the present generation when we look at the diseases that man bring upon themselves through the excesses and the foolishness and the promises that are made in the hearts of people and being imposed on by many powers to say, well, it's attractive. It'll give you that spurt of joy, and you need that, and then. And he leaves, the good shepherd leaves the 99 in the wilderness, the AV, in the open place, in the parks that they are normally fed in and shepherded in, and he must find the one that was lost. I think we can use that word, that doctrine. It was very much a part of, certainly when I was a boy, part of every preaching, and especially on, and I thank God that it was on Sunday nights of communion, when ministers would unashamedly say that it's your duty to come to Jesus Christ. It is my duty to tell you, if you don't, what is in front of you in life and in death and in eternity. It's old-fashioned, but it hasn't, in truth, it hasn't changed, and it will not change. And he then, because they shall be mine, saith the Lord, and because however far they are away, or however attractive the grass on the other side was, and how well it would suit that sheep, and how by nature the sheep, unless well fenced and perhaps even well fed, then that it is likely to go astray. Maybe taking up time, but as a boy on the island of Lewis, and the rocks going down into the sea, 30, 40, 50 feet, where the sheep used to graze, and of course the green grass halfway down towards the sea was very attractive, and the sheep seeing the green grass and how enjoyable it would be would try and make its way down the face of the rock and find a place for its feet there and eat there. But there was no way out except to fall down into the sea, and well, sheep aren't the best at swimming. And there was a man, and he had a large measure of disablement in his legs, and he was the man that they would put a fence post in the ground above and let him down on a heavy rope and bring up the sheep from the midst of the cliff. And I'm only making a very thought on what was part of, and how precious that one sheep was, and another man who used to put his son down, and his son is still very much alive and active, and And the son would be willing because his father said so. To leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that sheep that was lost. The household of God, those who constitute, those who are within the house of God and enjoying the blessings and the privileges of the house of God, and that is you and that is me. How precious, how wonderful, and we will never be as thankful as we ought to be, even where we are this evening. Let the name of the Lord be praised, and to experience that this is where God is, not just the two or three gathered together in my name, there am I in their midst, but 20, 30, 200, 300, whatever part of the world where they are gathered in my name, in the name of Jesus. And he's promised to be there. And we can recognize him. My peace I give unto you. I give you ears to hear. I give you tongues to speak. I give you eyes to see. Out of the darkness of this world, we can see light shining gloriously, wonderfully. Into the darkest recesses of the hearts of men, and I'm sure you know them, and I know them, you see, never, never, never. All the process and all that man can do, whatever we are designated to be of help to those who need so much help, and perhaps more so in our own generation than in any other, and the initiative, the power, the light, the understanding comes from heaven. I will arise. I will arise and go to my Father. Well, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Whether it is one in the 100 sheep, whether it is one precious coin among the 10 that the woman had lost, and her wholehearted way in which she said that I must find that precious coin, that jewel among my jewels that is lost. I must find it. Woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently until she finds it. What? And here is our Lord Jesus Christ making those worldly things and are very honourable and very right and very good and very just, and saying, I must find it. And if there's any of us tonight in God's house and believe it is there to be found, I pray thee in the name of Jesus, do not give yourself rest until you do find it. And well, we say we don't save ourselves, it is all of God, it is all of grace, but seek diligently. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. That is what Jesus says. And it is there. And believe me, it is there. It is here. And this gospel has been preached in this pulpit since this pulpit was constructed. And that is the gospel that is saving people. It's real, it's true, and it's here. And there's the woman then, and when she had found it, say, Master, you can just see the shepherd with the sheep over his shoulder, how he found it, however deep the ravine, or however much, along with other sheep that went astray, but he is happy. He is so happy. He has found his sheep. It was his sheep. It was very precious because it was his. And he was 100% single-minded, single-hearted, that it had to be found. It was a lost sheep that had to be found. And there's the prodigal, and he's making his demands, and it's perhaps worth a notice that the father didn't say to him, well, shouldn't you think again? Shouldn't you give some more thought? And maybe, of course, that was the case, but the word of God doesn't tell us that. I'm sure if you are blessed with a son, or your father was blessed with you, or my father blessed with me as a son, and we did such claims that were not in keeping with the what we can just simply call the right way, the best way, the God-given way, then we should perhaps make desires, because we love the son, we love the daughter, we love them because not just are they ours, but they are God's. And a certain man had two sons and gave me, and so when he had, and it doesn't, it only takes one verse to say how whatever. And we must understand that it was somewhat considerable what he was due from his father. And that would be, of course, when his father left the scene of time. And always the social demand, if you like, that it had to remain there until that time that God had set for him, for the younger son to receive it in God's time, in God's way, for God's glory. But no, the rebellious prodigal, the draw of the far country, the demands that sin makes, in every generation it may differ, but there is a power that we often call the devil. And he can make it very, very attractive. So we have to be on guard. We have to be constantly on guard. We have to wear the whole armor of God. Ephesians 6, saying how we are to survive in a society like ours. We have to be protected with a protection that we must wear, so that the fiery darts of the devil, so that we wear the helmet of faith, so that we wear the breastplate of righteousness, so that we are all of that, and we equip ourselves, however be it, to understand that we have, and that we begin to fight the good fight of faith. Faith in God. And when he had spent all, apparently it didn't take long. How brief the joy of sin, how short it lasts, doesn't last for long. And Luke, just to be absolutely colloquial, and I'm sure you and I can look at the lives of many and look at the mess that it has left behind it. And when he had spent all, there arose a famine in the land. And the times of of famine and the times of plenty. There are such times, and there may be such times in our own lives, and not just food. There never has been a generation in our parts the food we eat and the water that we drink is so abundant as in our times. And so there, and you could almost think, here is God bringing those things, those providences to light in the life of the prodigal. He wouldn't have expected a famine. Maybe he went to the distant land when he thought there is no famine. It is all the bright lights that are flashing. It is all joy. It is all these extravagances that continue all night and into the next day. And we must always remember that God did not even build this body for such an estranged life. God didn't build us that way. He built us for himself. Man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. Not to take days off in the far country for this or that. And when he came to himself, he realized his foolishness. He realized his worldliness. And if any of us, and I certainly will include myself, not relevant for me. Well, my dear brother, my dear sister, how do you think, or how do I think, you or I are being protected in a world such as this? Is it because we are wise people, or gentle people, or kind people, and we haven't done anyone any harm, and we give to this and that, and so on and so forth? Is that God showing his favour with our, perhaps even with our presence here tonight? Thank God for our presence here tonight. But in the very same breath, it is God who is in total control of our lives. It's good to believe that. And whatever situation any of us might be in tonight, it is never too early. It is never too late. I will arise and go to my Father and just experience whatever the plight is, and however much in the depths, or perhaps even the other direction, how high we might be flying, and realize it is not the way that my Father would have me to be. I will arise, eating the food of the pigs, and we are rising. My Father has got servants, and they're so much happier, so much given to serve my Father. How much more peaceful, how much more satisfying than I am. I will arise and go to my Father. And that, oh, that old-fashioned word, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. Pictures that we hear, three letters of the word sin, S-I-N, and the middle letter of sin is I. I am the sinner in the middle of sin. To make a case for ourselves that I am not. Well, the word says we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And don't we love to say it is sinners that Christ came to save. it wasn't good people. And how was it not good people? Because there wasn't one. We have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. All, A-L-L, no exception. And we must see, and surely in some way, even today, when we were round the table of God, the table of our Lord Jesus Christ, surely we can see the preciousness of how God has prepared for us that new and living way, that new life in Jesus Christ. And if those who are the oldest, the elders in the congregation, if they have come through, say, the number of years, and some of them 20, 30, 40, 50, going on for 60 years, and the grace of God has not failed them yet. Don't let the devil take you aside and say, ah, but you will fail. Test the truth. Test and speak to those who have come through it and who are still standing and who are still witnesses for Jesus Christ. And you see how the whole state of mind is changing. I will arise and go to my Father. He never questions that the Father will say, I don't want you anymore. You have been a naughty boy. You have gone astray. You have disgraced me and your family, and we don't know where you were and you didn't contact us and all of that. He never questioned the love of the Father for one moment. He just assumed he knew enough about the Father, that the Father would not let him down, however much he let his Father down. Do you see the outworking of those of God's dealings with his own children, our Father which art in heaven, and how the state of mind and how difficult it becomes for, and people will say, oh well, we had to go through these times of, they're only young and they have to go through those things and they go to those extremities, and well, do they have to? We don't have to. We can live without that, and we can live well without that, and we can live better without that. And if you are becomes the exception, whether we are boys or girls or young men or young women or whatever state of that, but it is, we can live outside the realms of the joys, the way that this world, and I just like to see at times like those, the wonder how many millions of pounds are spent today on the Lord's Day on what is called entertainment, and how tomorrow morning, how they say, well, wouldn't it be wonderful if some would say, well, there is a better way of making use of and making use of what can really bring me the joy, what can really bring me the love of God. The love of God. How can I win that? And the very simple answer is, of course, as we all know, to stay away from those aspects of life that are so broad. And how can I walk that narrow way? Well, there is no way too narrow that Jesus Christ cannot be with you, however narrow it is. And he has promised to be with you. And you, my dear sister, my dear brother, ask. And the great reception then. The great reception that he receives. He expected. He expected it, and he got it. One of the commentators, I can't quite remember who it is now, and I like to say that, well, this point of our thoughts, that there wasn't a day since the prodigal left that the father walked out the road that where he had left the father's house, the family home, and waited for the prodigal to come home. And of course, waiting in biblical Christian worshipping terms means it was just not waiting, but praying to God that if that the earthly father could not bring the needy son home, that God the Father in heaven would bring him home. There is rejoicing in the presence of the angels in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. Amen. Let us pray.